Today's daf is Pei Bet. We're going to start at the second line, on the second line. Okay, so we saw yesterday, we had these four questions. There was the, we had these, the Meviveno Kore. We were trying to figure out why we had this in-between shita of bringing the Bikurim but not reading them. And then we ended up saying that you have to do it in all sorts of ways in order to prevent the problem of Meviveno Kore, that you're Safek, right? We treat it as Safek Bikurim, Safek not Bikurim, and because of that we have to do it in all sorts of ways so as to avoid all sorts of halachic issues of, let's say, not taking Truman of Masro, of bringing Chulin Lazara, etc. So then, and not being chayav in kriya, we have to create a situation where you're not actually chayav likro at time of kriya bikurim. Otherwise, you're gonna, how could you bring the bikurim without reading it? That was the last one we saw. So then, Amarle, we're on the second line. Amarle Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Avya l'Rav Ashi, michde psukeninhu likre. Now he says, wait a minute. If this whole thing is just a concern. It's the whole reason we're not, the whole question was, how could you be mevi ve'no kore? And then they said, and we tried to come up with issue, you know, things here. Then they said, why don't we just solve it by just saying, wait a minute, these are just psukim from the Torah. You could just easily read these psukim. In other words, maybe you're not actually chayav and bikurim, but what's the worst case? So you said a few psukim, you recited some psukim, what's the big deal? So amale mishum demechze kishikra. So one answer is that it looks like you're lying, because to say the psukim randomly, if you're sitting learning them in your house, is one thing. But if you're actually bringing things that are safek bikurim, safek not bikurim, and then you bring them and you make this recitation, even though you're just saying psukim, it looks like you're actually reciting it. In which case, if they're not actually bikurim, then it looks like you're potentially lying. So therefore, he says that's not a good solution. Rav Misharshia b'reid Rav Chia amar, what are we concerned with? If you say, this is the second answer, if you say the recitation, then we're concerned that you'll forget that it's only suffix. And therefore, if you forget that it's suffix, what's going to happen? You're going to forget that you have to also bring truma and masro, misafik. Okay, and also, interestingly, they don't say it, but also to be makadish it, that it, just in case it's not bikurim. So therefore, it's almost like saying, we're doing this as a siman heker, so that you don't forget that this is all a suffix situation. Okay, that ends the sugya. Now we're moving back to the Mishnah. If you remember, who remembers, right? We always forget. So the Mishnah was, HaKonesh Shnei Ilano B'toch Sadeh Chaver, I'm going back from it to Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. HaReza Lo Kana Karka, Rabbi Meir Omer Kana Karka, right? Now, then the Mishnah continues in the Shita of Tanakama, that if you purchase two Ilanot, you're not, you don't acquire the land, and therefore higdilu, if they grow, lo yishapeh, if they grow, then you're allowed to keep them. The owner of the land is not allowed to say, cut down your trees, because if you didn't purchase the land, you at least purchased rights to the tree, however much you need the tree to go. And the second thing was, and this is what we're going to focus on now, haole min hageza shelo. Anything that comes out of the trunk belongs to the tree owner, the buyer, and anything that comes min ha-sharashim, shabala karka. So now we're going to discuss this. Hechi dami min ha-geza, v'hechi dami min ha-sharashim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol sh'ro'e p'nei chama, zeu min ha-geza, v'she'eno ro'e p'nei chama, zeu min ha-sharashim. Anything that sees the light of day, which means basically anything that's visible. If a branch or part of a new tree grows out of anything that we can see, which would be the trunk, right? As opposed to anything that we don't see, which would be considered from the roots. So if something starts sprouting from under the ground, then obviously that's going to be considered from the shorashim. Seems like a pretty reasonable thing. The Gemara says, wait a minute. According to what you're saying, Rabbi Yochanan, the lichush dilma maska aria sirton. Vamarle talta zavinli v'itle ara. Let's say I purchased two trees. Now, what's the concern? The concern is that if it's all about what we can see and what we can't see, maybe the earth will be covered, the bottom of the trunk will be covered with sediment. something will grow out of there. It'll no longer, will no longer be able to tell then if it was originally coming from the geza, right? What will we say if it's covered with sediment and we don't see it? Then we're going to say it's really coming from underground, when maybe it's really coming from the roots, okay? And it's going to create the suffix situation. And what's going to happen? There's going to be, if sediment covers it, but really it was growing out from the trunk. So who does it belong to? It belongs to the tree, right? The tree owner. At this point, what will happen? The tree owner will have the stuff growing out of his trunk. So we'll have his two trees that he purchased, plus this additional big growth that's coming out of the ground. Now, if we say that that's the case, and then this sediment comes and covers over it, what will happen? The guy will say, let's read it again inside. So, lichosh dilma maska arasirto. And that means that land will be covered with sediment, and you'll no longer see the line of where the geza started. Va'amar lehem, the tree owner will say, hey, look, what do you see here? You don't see anymore where the tree, where the extra branch grew out of, right? It looks like it's coming from the ground. So what will he claim? Talta zavinli v'ileara. He'll say, hey, look, these three belong to me. And that proves that I actually own the land underneath also, because look, you sold me three trees. And since we're just looking at what the sunlight can see, right? It'll look like three trees. Okay, now you might say, but the original owner could say, no, but look, the sediment is covering it. Let's undo the sediment, right? Take it off the ground. And I'll prove to you that that third tree that you're claiming is a third tree, and therefore you get all the land, is really, right, is really part of the, it's really two trees that one grew out of another. It's not actually three trees. So the answer given there is that it's not, we're not able to prove when the sediment settled upon there. It could be that, right, the original owner of the land has no way to prove that the sediment wasn't covering it originally. In which case, if the sediment was covering it originally, it looked like three trees and the guy could have purchased three trees. So since there's this issue of the sediment, we'll never really be able to tell when the sediment came, when it didn't, right? And therefore, in theory, the guy who purchased two trees could make a claim that he actually owns three trees. So Amar Rav Nachman, says no like this. Now, what was the concern? The concern was that we're going to have stage one, he buys two trees, right? Stage two, sediment grows, right? Stage two is something grows out of the trunk, right? Stage three is sediment grows. So when something grew out of the trunk, what do we say? It already belonged, right? So the two tree guy now has two trees plus. Then the sediment will grow, and then he'll claim that all three were his. Okay? So now what do we claim? We say the important line here is the important stage is stage two. When once it grew out of the tree, we gave that guy rights to that tree, right? Once it grew out of the trunk, we gave the owner of the tree zchuyot to that tree. Now, if he has full zchuyot, what does that mean? That if sediment grows, he can then try to prove, hey, look, all these three trees are mine. I have ownership over them. Therefore, give me the land, because it shows that I bought the three trees originally. So what does Rav Nachman say? That when we say what comes out of the geza belongs to the owner of the trees, I'm Rav Nachman Yikotz. V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan Yikotz. He doesn't own rights to the tree the same way. Okay, we have tree number one, tree number two, and what grows out of tree number one, let's say. So the rights to this extra tree that grew out of tree number one is not the same as the rights he has to these trees. The two trees he purchased, he has rights to everything of the tree, right? And he can cut it down a little bit and let it grow better, which we're going to see soon. Okay, obviously, what doesn't he have? If the tree dies, then he doesn't have anything, right? Because then we say that he didn't acquire, because he didn't acquire the land. But the tree that comes as shoots as an outgrowth, that according to the Mishnah, he gets rights to, he only gets rights to chop it down for the trunk, for the bark, for the wood, Okay? That's the rights he has to this tree. He doesn't have equal rights to all three trees. Because if he had equal rights, then we'd be worried that sediment would come and he'd say, hey, look, I own three trees. So now we're saying, there's no concern he's going to say that. Because the rights to this tree is different from the rights to the other trees. He can only have rights to it in as much as he can cut it down and use the wood or use whatever he wants from it, but not to actually keep the tree going. Okay. I'm Rav Nachman. Naktinan dekel ein lo geza. Okay, now we learn that a dekel has no geza. Okay, we don't know yet what this means. Okay, a dekel obviously has a trunk. Okay, we see palm trees all around outside, right? We're going to talk about the differences now between a palm tree. What does it mean that a palm tree doesn't have geza? Sava Rav Zvid Lemeimer, we're going to have two explanations, Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. Rav Zvid is going to be somewhat difficult. Sava Rav Zvid Lemeimer, Rav Zvid thought to say that what he meant was, what Rav Nachman meant, was ein lo geza labala dekel. The person who purchases the tree doesn't have rights to things that grow out of the trunk. Why? Dekevan de la michvar ulasharesh kai asuche mesach date. Okay, it's a little unclear what exactly this means. I'll go with one interpretation, which is, I think it's the Rashbam, that it's that when a dekel tree grows, okay, right, the Rashbam says this, that it's generally, what happens in a dekel tree, it dries out. Okay, now this is a little strange because we see dekel trees that last for a very long time. Okay, but there's a certain assumption here that they're basically going to end up drying out and they don't really last long enough for shoots to grow out of it. In which case, okay, asuche mesach date. What does that mean? Hesech hadat. What's hesech hadat? That you already say, oh, I'm not going right, to, it's, I've removed my doubt from it. What does it mean in this context? That when you purchased this tree, you had no expectations of there being shoots growing out of the trunk, because you assume that the tree would dry up within a certain amount of time, and therefore you would end up without these shoots, and therefore you never, when I purchase a regular tree, I assume there's going to be shoots out of it, and I'm going to get rights to that. But in this case, I wasn't expecting there to be any shoots growing out of it, and therefore I had no intent of ever purchasing it. So therefore he says, that's what he thought he meant, ein lo geza. So matkifla Rav Papa, Rav Papa questions and says, Vaha konesh ne ilanot de mechpor de mishash kaime ve katane de yesh lo geza. So now he says, but wait a minute. It says in the Mishnah that konesh ne ilanot, right, which seems to include any tree, which would also include a dekel tree. And even though it's lemichvar or lemishrish kaime, it still says yesh lo geza. So therefore, it doesn't make sense what Rav Zvid is saying, that there be any distinction, because the Mishnah doesn't distinguish at all between different types of trees, and it seems to include the dekel, and even though the dekel is lemichvar or lemishrish, right, it's going to dry up. Therefore, it doesn't make any sense to say that. So therefore, Rav Papa has his own explanation. El amar Rav Papa, ein lo geza labala dekel, lefi she'ein motzi geza. So he says, the bala dekel doesn't get geza here, not because the guy had no intent that shoots were going to spring out of it. What Rav Zvid is basically saying, let's go back to Rav Zvid for a minute, is that in theory, there could be shoots coming out of it. It's just that when I purchased the tree, I didn't think there were going to be shoots coming out of it before the tree would dry up. So therefore, I assumed, right, I wasn't planning on acquiring. Comes from Papa and he says, it doesn't ever, right, think of a dekel tree. It doesn't have branches coming out of it, different trunks. It's got one major trunk and that's it. It doesn't have a geza. There is no, it has a trunk. It doesn't have anything growing out of the geza. And therefore, it's ein motzi geza. Nothing grows out of the trunk, and that's why he doesn't have it. Because it's just not in existence. Not that it's a small probability of something. There's no chance of it growing. And that's why. And then they say, Rav Zvid, though, Ula Rav Zvid, Kashi Matniti. But our Mishnah is still very difficult, according to Rav Zvid, because our Mishnah said, any tree, yesh lo geza, which would seem to include a dekel tree. So what could he have meant by that? Because remember, Rav Zvid said, even if something grows, right? Now, Rav Papa can easily explain, well, our Mishnah was only talking about trees where something grows out of the geza. In this case, nothing grows out of the geza. So what about Rav Zvid? How does he explain our Mishnah? So what are the answer? Tizavim l'chamesh shanim. There's two ways you could sell the dekel tree. One is you sell the tree for no specific time frame. In that case, Rav Zvid goes with his typical explanation, which is that the assumption was it would dry out before anything would grow out, and therefore we're going to assume that the guy never had any intent to acquire it, the guy who purchased the tree. But our Mishnah, when it seems to include even the dekel tree, would have yesh lo geza, that would be a case where someone sells me the dekel tree for 5 years. Now, what does that mean? It means that if within these 5 years it dries out, I'm allowed to plant a new one, and therefore it means I get anything that comes out of this dekel tree for 5 years. Everything about this tree for 5 years is mine, in which case it would include even the geza. But a standard case of a dekel would not include the geza. Okay, like I said, this definition is somewhat, this whole explanation of Rav Zvid is somewhat problematic. There's other potential explanations, but we're going to go with that one. Okay, next, moving on. Kana shlosha kana karka. Okay, so now what happens? As soon as you purchase three trees, everybody agrees, you acquire the land underneath. Now there's going to be a question. Vikama, how much land underneath do you acquire? Right? And then you have your trees, and then you have your space around it. How much space do you get? Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hare ze kana tachtehen, ubenehem. Okay, so far we'll start with the first two. Underneath the trees, okay, you buy these three trees, you get all the area underneath and in between, all three. V'chutz alehen kimelo orev esalo. Okay, and around the perimeter of the trees, you get the area of the orev, which is the milaket, the guy who collects the fruits from the trees, the picker, and his basket. In other words, okay, the assumption is, right, he's going to imagine an olive tree, right? The people take, like, and they smack, and they put this big sheet underneath when they take the olives off. So it's a bigger, right, the amount of space that the picker would need in order to gather his stuff. That's how much you get around. Okay, obviously it didn't exactly give us an amount. Okay, we'll get to it later. Okay, so that's Rabbi Chiya b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Matkif la Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar now questions this and says, wait a minute. Hold off. He says, derech ein lo. Okay, you have to read this according to the Bach, okay? He says, derech ein lo. You have to look in the Bach because he kind of takes out words and then adds words, okay? So look in Hagahot HaBach. Matkif la Rabbi Elazar. Hashte, even as, right. Hashte derech ein lo. De'ara achritehi. If I purchase three trees in your field, what did we learn before? That I don't get a derech, right? Remember now, there was a machloket, Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. Do I get a derech or not? Is the mocher mocher ba'ayin yafa or mocher ba'ayin ra? So right now, Rabbi Elazar is assuming that we're passing like Chachamim, that mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher, and therefore we're not getting the derech. So you're saying that I don't get a pathway to my trees, okay? But kimelo orev esalo yeshlo, but we're going to give me extra space within your field. In other words, it's one thing, we're not going to allow me this path to get there, but we are going to allow me this extra space for my melaktim to go. Now, why would he assume that that if you don't have a derech, you certainly wouldn't get the kimelo orev esalo? Because melo orev esalo is extra. You don't need that. You can go climb up the tree to pick it. You don't need space to pick from a tree. Right, it's nice, but you don't need it. A derech you need. So if we're not giving you the derech that you need to get to your trees, and we are going to give you melo orev esalo, that makes no sense. So Rabbi Elazar questions Rabbi Yochanan and says, how could you possibly say that? So now before we get back to this question, Rabbi Zera is going to say we can infer something from what Rabbi Elazar said. Amar Rabbi Zera, midivrei Rabbeinu. Nilmad shloshahu de'ein lo derech hashnaim yeshlo damarle ba'ara didach kaime. Says something interesting. This is like we saw in our Mishnah, that if you don't get the land, then you get certain extra rights. Because if you don't own the land, then the assumption is the owner gave you at least chuyot to get to your trees. So what he's saying here, from the fact that he says that you don't get the land because ara achritehu, right, that the, I'm sorry, Orevesalo, right, Enlo Oreves, one second, Hashe Derech Enlo, right, why doesn't he get a Derech? Because Arach Ritehu, right, because he's walking through someone else's land. But if he only gets two trees, the assumption is, since he doesn't own the land underneath, he doesn't own anything, that the owner would at least give him rights to walk through to get his land. Okay? But if he has three trees and the land is in fact his, then he doesn't have rights. He basically, this land belongs to you, and figure out a way to get to it. Okay? But if the land doesn't even belong to him, then the assumption is he gets a path to get there. Okay? That's the first assumption. Then Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, before we get back to the basic question that Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to ask a question of Rabbi Elazar himself. What's the problem with Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar here is clearly poskening like who? About the Mocher Ba'ayin Yafa, Mocher Ba'ayin Ra'ah. Right? He's poskening like Chachami. The Mocher Ba'ayin Ra'ah Mocher. Right? Because what's he saying? Clearly you don't have a derech here, so how could you get the Malo Rebbe Salo? So Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava, lema Rabbi Elazar lately l'Shmuel Rabbe? Could it possibly be that Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold like Shmuel, his own rabbi? Da'amar Shmuel, because what did Shmuel say about the machlok at Rabbi Akiva Chachamim? Halacha ke Rabbi Akiva, da'amar mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher. So how could Rabbi Elazar not hold like Shmuel, his rabbi, who holds like Rabbi Akiva? It's clear from here that Rabbi Elazar is holding like Chachamim in that machloket. How could that possibly be? Amar le, lo mitukma matnitin k'rabbi, lo. Mitukma, okay, it's not true that he doesn't hold like Shmuel. He actually does. But mitukma matnitin k'rabbi Akiva. He's assuming, and as Rabbi Elazar is asking a question of Rabbi Yochanan, who came to explain our Mishnah, right, about this kanash lo shakana karka and how much, and he said, right, he gets the malo revesalo. So he's saying that Rabbi Elazar is questioning Rabbi Yochanan, who's explaining our Mishnah. And Rabbi Elazar is not talking l'shitato. He's talking about l'shita Rabbi Yochanan that's explaining our Mishnah. But Rabbi Elazar himself, we disagree with it. Okay? Now, how do we know that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva? Sorry, one second. Lo mitukma matnitin. Right, he's saying, Lo mitukma matnitin k'Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah doesn't go like Rabbi Akiva. And he's commenting on the Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah goes like Chachamim. How do we know this? Mimai. Midekatane higdilu yishapeh. So how are we going to know that our Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva? Because it says, if it grows, the owner is allowed to, right, in this case where you bought three trees, the owner is allowed to cut off the branches that reach into his property, right? The owner of the land. The owner of the land can cut the branches off the tree I purchased and say, this tree, if your tree goes out into the guy's property and it shades his property and it's messing up his crops, right? And it doesn't give him enough sunlight. He's allowed to, right, in the case where you bought three trees and you acquire the land underneath, as soon as you acquire, let's say, this space of land, as soon as it veers out, the branches out of that space, the guy can already cut down, the owner of the land can already cut down your branches. Now, again, what are we going to say? Why is this clearly not Rabbi Akiva? Because Ha'am Amar, Mocher Ba'ayin Yafa Mocher, right? And that's Amai Yishapeh. Right? What? Sorry. Isakadatach Rabbi Akiva. If you think this is Rabbi Akiva, Amai Shapeh. Why does he have the rights to cut down my branches? If according to Rabbi Akiva, Mocher Ba'ayin Yafa Mocher. Right. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. The Mocher Ba'ayin Yafa Mocher means that if I sell you my trees, even if my branches go into your, if you sell me, let's do it the way we were doing it before. You sell me your trees. I purchased your trees. I have your Mocher Ba'ayin Yafa. Meaning, I can, you know, my trees can go into your property and you're obviously going to let me because you're Mocher Ba'ayin Yafa. So now if you remember, we distinguished, right? Now he's going to say, you can't prove, and then, so where are we now? That would prove that our Mishnah doesn't go like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore Rabbi Elazar isn't going l'shitato. He really agrees with Shmuel, that Mocher Ba'ayin Ra'ah Mocher. But he's explaining our Mishnah, right? Rabbi Yochanan was explaining our Mishnah, and he's commenting on Rabbi Yochanan who's explaining our Mishnah, but the Mishnah follows Chachamim, okay? So now he says, no, you can't assume our Mishnah is Mocher Ba'ayin Yafa Mocher because Amar Lei, Imur Da Amar Rabbi Akiva Gabe Bor Vidut De Lo Mechashe Ara Gabe Ilan Mishamat Lei Milo Modi Rabbi Akiva B'Ilan Hanotel L'Toch Stech HaVerosh Shekotzeitz Malo Mardeyam Al Gabe Machresha. So we learned this already, that what? When Rabbi Kiva said, Mocher Bayin Yafa Mocher, he was talking about a boor and a dut and things like that, that don't mess up the land. So if the boor and, right, the boor and the dut don't bother his property. So therefore, in that case, he was talking about it. But with a tree, where your tree is shading his property, then we're not going to assume that he's Mocher Ba'ayin Yafa. Okay, then we're going to say, even if you're Mocher Ba'ayin Yafa, we're still going to say that the owner of the land has rights to cut down the tree because it's messing up his property. Okay, and how do we know that Rabbi Akiva's Modeh in this case? Because there's a case where we saw Ilan Hanotel L'toch Sdeh Chavero. If your Ilan is going into your friend's field, right? Let's say he sold you the tree and your tree is drooping into his field. And what's the problem now, right? His Mardea, right? The Mardea that's on the Machresha, remember he has the plow and it comes through with this piece, right? And the piece is going to get stuck on the tree. So if he can't plow properly without getting stuck on the tree, it's going to break his plow, the piece on his plow. Therefore, he's allowed to be kotzeitz melo mardeam al gabei machresha. Okay, he's allowed to cut that area. So here we see, even if you say mocher b'ayin yafa mocher, still if it's going to get in his way, which in the case of the Mishnah there was getting in his way because it's blocking his way. Here we're talking about it's messing up his crops from growing. So in that case, Rabbi Kiva doesn't say it. In which case, our Mishnah isn't necessarily like against Rabbi Akiva, which means that we can't answer that question about Rabbi Elazar, which means in the end we'd have to say that Rabbi Elazar in fact does disagree with Shmuel, his rabbi, who holds like Rabbi Akiva. Okay? So in the end, that's what we're going to answer, that that's the case. Amar le'abaye, right, no, I skipped. Tanya kavate de Rabbi Chia bar Abba. So now going back to the statement, Rabbi Chia bar Abba, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that he gets this kimelo revesalo. Now we have a braita that supports this. Hareza kana tachtehen ubenehem v'chutzalehem kimelo o revesalo. Okay, so now not only did we, right, so Rabbi Elazar questioned it, however, we see that we have a braita that supports it. Okay? Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Otan o revesalo mizor'an. Now we have a great question. If the guy, so I buy three trees. So here's three trees in this area. I get the area, right, between the trees. And then I even get the area, right, what did we say? Tachtehen, underneath, benehen, in between, and chutzalehen. I get this area, kimelo o revesalo, around where the trees are. Now the question is, okay, what are we going to say here? Who gets to plant here? So I have rights to this as the owner of the trees, but who gets to plant in this area, this in-between area? Do I have rights just to catch my fruits there, right? To use it for catching my fruits? Or do I also have rights to plant here? Now, what would be the best comparison to make to this if we want to figure it out? Just like if you get the derech, remember? If he gives him the derech, right, does anybody think if I have a derech to get to my trees that I'm allowed to plant there? Now, obviously, the owner of the land, obviously, has rights to plant there. So maybe it's similar to that. So let's see. So Amar Le Abaye Rav Yosef, Otana Reve Salom Mizoran, who gets to plant in this area? Amar Le Tanitua, let's learn it from here. Hachitzon Zorea Et HaDerech. Okay, so now, if you have a Abaye Pnimi and a Abaye Chitzoni, okay, here it's similar to the Yeshlo Derech, but the Abaye Pnimi has a Derech to get out through the Chitzon, okay, through the bayah chitzoni, or let's say the field is chitzon, and there's a pnimich field and a chitzoni field, the inner and the outer. So the inner is allowed to walk through the outer, but obviously the chitzoni, it says there, zorea taderech. So it's true the pnimi guy has a path, but the outside guy obviously gets to plant there. So amarle, mi dame, are these cases similar? Hatam, in the case of the chitzon, zorea taderech, where there's a pnimi guy and a chitzoni guy, Hatam late le pseda de lokech. In that case, if the chitzon guy is zorea the derech, it doesn't cause any sort of hefsev for the inner guy, right? And it's going to be worse maybe for the outer guy because the inner guy is going to trample on his field, right? But it's certainly no loss for the inner guy. But in our case, aval hacha eat le pseda de lokech da amar le kamitan fe pere. Now it's a bit of a confusion about what exactly is going on here. But if well, the assumption is here. If this is the area where the picker comes to pick the fruits, so that means that the fruits can fall there also, right? And certainly when he's picking, the fruits are going to fall. Now, if we allow the owner of the field outside to plant in this area, what's going to happen? If he plants there, the assumption is that's going to mess up my fruits when they fall. Why exactly that is a bit of a debate. It could be it's going to be, the ground is going to be very wet because it's going to be irrigated, and that's going to fall into muddy stuff, and it's going to ruin, right? It's going to get the fruits all dirty, which again, right, anyone who has fruit trees knows there's certain fruits that don't really get bothered by the ground, but there's a lot of them, assuming it's figs or dates or things like that, they certainly get all disgusting when they fall. So therefore, we're going to say somehow that because the area is planted, it's going to make my fruits dirtier when they fall. And therefore, since we're talking about it, it's different than a space outside my property where I just need to walk through. There's obviously no hefsed if the guy plants. But here, where it's space that I need to use for my fruits, therefore it's going to ruin my fruits, and that's why we might say that we can't necessarily learn it from there. So then they say, wait a minute. If that's the case, if you're comparing it to this this chitzon, okay, so what happened was, let's just get the people. Abai said to Rav Yosef, he asked him, what's the case, right? Who gets to plant? Rav Yosef answers, let's learn it from Hachitzon Zoreat HaDerech. Abaye answered, Mi Dame, is this really similar, right? They're not really similar. And Abaye continues and says, but Imkvar, you're going to compare it to there, Halo Damya Ela L'Seifa. It's more similar to the Seifa of that case. What's the Seifa? The Seifa is, if the outer guy gave me a path that was on the side of his field, like a, they say, derech akalaton, like a wavy path outside of his field, like a, you know, you have to, what's the word? Like an indirect path outside his field, where it's neither in his field really, nor in my field, right? Nor in the area I have. So, zevezeh einan resha'in lezorah. Okay? Neither one can plant there. He says, that's much more similar to this one because it's sort of, you would call it no man's land, right? It's, I'm using the land, right? But it's also sort of your land, okay? And therefore, it's sort of neither mine nor yours. And it should be more similar to that case, which is neither one should be allowed to plant there. And that's what Abaye claims. So Rav Yosef said, the outer guy's allowed to plant there. And Abaye said, neither one can plant there. It's a no man's land. Tanya kavate da Abaye. Now we're going to bring a proof for Abaye from a praita. Like we saw before, but what has it continue? Okay, there we have it clearly. Okay, neither one can do it. Now we have a further question, which we've actually discussed earlier, which is how much is in between these trees to be considered three trees, right, where you get the karka underneath? Right, there has to be, it can't be, I buy a tree there and a tree across the street and a tree right very far from each other. So what's the distance between them? This will be considered three trees that were able to acquire the land underneath in Benahem and Kimelo Rev Selo. Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, Me'arba Amot Vad Shmoneh. So Rav Yosef says the name of Rav Yehuda and the name of Shmuel, it's 4 to 8 Amot between them. Remember, if it's less than 4 Amot, what did we say? This we talked about when we talked about these trees in a field. Less than 4 amot, it can't be, because less than 4 amot, trees can't survive. In which case, if there's trees that close, one is going to end up being uprooted, which means you really didn't buy three trees. That's not a sadeh, okay? Because the sadeh has to have three trees. So therefore, there has to be a range. It's from 4 to 8. Any closer, it's not considered a field. Any farther, it's not considered connected. They're each considered their own independent units. Rava amar Rav Nachman amar Shmuel mishmot avad shesh esrei amah. Okay, or it doesn't say Amah, but that's what it means. Okay, so Rav Nachman, Rava gives a different explanation in the name of Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. So notice, they're both in the name of Shmuel, okay? Wasn't clear what Shmuel actually said. That it's from 8 to 16 Amah. Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef, lo tif lo galei de Rav Nachman. Abaye now says to Rav Yosef, who brought the first one, he says, why are you disagreeing with Rav Nachman? Ditnan matnitin kavate, there's a Mishnah explicitly like him. What's the Mishnah? Obviously, it's not explicitly like him. It's a Mishnah about a totally different topic, which is kilayim. Okay, we've learned about if you have a vineyard, right, you can't be zorea, some other, right, you can't put wheat in the field. Okay, but there's obviously, there's a certain distance between things that would make it okay or not okay. Ditznan. Hanotea et karmo, shesh esrei amah al shesh esrei amah. 16 by 16, okay, which means a distance of 16 amot in between your two rows. In order to be something to be considered a kerem, has to have two rows. One row is not considered a kerem. So, two rows of with 16 in between them, okay? If you have the Schottenstein or the Karin, they have good pictures, okay, of the shurot, okay? Like here in the Schottenstein. There's two shurot, okay? You have two shurot with 16 in between them, okay? Then, what happens? Mutar lahavi zera lasham. You're allowed to bring and plant in between them because there's a big distance in between, okay? It's not a problem. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'aseh b'tzalmon echad, shenatat kamo 16 al 16 amah, v'haya hofech se'ar shtei shurot l'tzad echad, v'zorea etanir. Okay, what did he do? Now there's an issue that even if the branches lean over, that maybe derabanan there's an issue. So what does he say? There was a case where the guy came, what did he do? He had these 16 amah, and he turned the branches outward. Okay, that's where you're going to see this. Okay, turn the branches, let's say the branches of between the first two rows faced inward, and then the branches of, there's a few ways of explaining this. I'm explaining one way, the way the Schottenstein has this picture. The branch, let's say, okay, here they have six rows, okay? So the first two rows he faced toward each other. Rows three and four he faced toward each other, and rows five and six he faced toward each other. So in between row two and three and four and five, there were no branches in the way, because all the branches of one and two faced each other, three and four faced each other, five and six faced each other. In between, there were no branches. So what did he do? He was Zorea, okay? So then he took the in-between two and three and the in-between four and five, and he planted there. That way there were no branches at all, and it was not, you know, it was less of an issue of Kelaim, even to Rabban. Lishana Acheret, but the next year, what did he do? Hayalfechet ha-se'ar le-makom ha-zera. Then he, since he already planted there, he took the branches and he faced two and three and four and five, right? But then he had space between one and two, three and four, and five and six, where originally the branches were facing. Now he faced them away. So then he planted that field, okay? Vizara tabor. And then, right, not the bore like a well, bore with a ooh in between, right, the dead space, right, that wasn't planted. Because remember, the shirot are just lines. In between, there's a lot of space. There were 16 amma. So we basically flip them each year. Ubama selef nechachamim v'tirua. And that way he was able to be zarea the entire thing. Okay, and the rabbis were matir. Okay, so now he claims that what? The assumption here is sheshesrei amma, that you needed this space of sheshes rama in between in order to allow this type of thing. And as he's saying, they were matir because there was a distance of 16 ame in between the shurot. So he comes and he says, that proves, right, that Rav Nachman is right, that you need mishmona ad sheshes rama, that only in sheshes rama is it considered a separate identity, right, that it's unique space. Okay? So Amar Lei, so what does he answer back to him, Rav Yosef, who thought it was from 4 to 8? Ana lo yadana, I don't know that, but uvda hava bedura deravata. We saw this before. This is this area where these ro'im were, the city of the ro'im. There was a case that happened in that, in this city. Va'ata atu lakame de Rav Yehuda. V'amar Lei, zil hav lei kimelo bakar v'kelav. Okay, he said to them, go, right, what was this case that he gave him three trees and it wasn't eight amma between them, right? I'm looking in the Rashbam. He says, Machar chad l'chaber rosh l'shay lanot, below hayashmon amma b'nehem. And Rav Yehuda said to the mocher, give the lokeach, okay, the karka, even though there wasn't between them, kimelo bakar v'kelav. Okay, so now he comes and continues and says, below yadana, below hava yadana, kimelo bakar v'kelav kama. Okay, he didn't know how kamahave, okay, the Bach adds the word kamahave, how much it was. Kevan deshama laha ditnan, lo yitai adam ilan samuch l'sadeh chavero, elim ken urchit mimenu dalet amot. V'tane ale dalet amot shamru kedei avodat hakerem, amina shma amina kemelo bakar v'kelav dalet amot, okay? So he says, I didn't know how much this was, but then I found this Mishnah that said, lo yita adam ilan samuch l'sadeh chavero, unless he distances himself, right? We learned this. Remember this? Okay, you can't plant your tree unless it's within a distance of 4 amot. And there was a braita about that that said, Dalad amot shamru is kedei avodat hakerem. So we assumed, kimelo bakar v'kelav, right? What's the bakar v'kelav? They're coming to do the harisha, right? That's what I assume. Right, kimelo bakar v'kelav. Right, with the kelim, right, to plow. So kedei avodat hakerem is 4 amot. So I assume the kimelo bakar v'kelav is 4 amot. Okay, and therefore he says, therefore the assumption is that it must be 4 amot. We saw this before, by the way, Paskin, that it was 4 amot around the tree. That's how much you get. So, okay, that's it for here. Okay, we'll learn again on Sunday.